Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
It's episode number 20 of Mediocrity.
What just happened?
Welcome, guys. Welcome. This is Mediocrity, where the show is just okay. And we are at our monumental, our amazing, our legendary 20th episode. Holy fucking Moses, we made it. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com, HighDefDigest.com, The Entertainment Answer Radio Show, and a few other podcasts. One of them is the Wrestling Is Everything Is Wrestling podcast. It's also part of this Multimedia Men brand. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just go and subscribe to us. I promise you might just kind of like it. We're mediocre, but we're fun. I am with Jonathan Atterbury of NewAmericanFitness.net. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much, man. How about you?
I'm doing all right. What's going on?
Just keeping busy, getting ready. You know, just getting all the stuff in line, doing coaching, getting writing done, all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, how was your Halloween Boba Fett? You did the whole thing.
The Halloween was good.
Yeah, did you get some candy?
No candy. I stay away from the candy, but I did have a few cookies that were really good. Ooh. Jeremy got to have a few. My wife Lauren.
Were they magical cookies?
They were not magical cookies. They were magical in flavor.
In flavor, lots of love with that. And you're wearing a Classic Wax Records shirt.
I am.
That's our friend Jonathan Kimbrell, who owns Classic Wax Records. Check him out online, Classic Wax with the triple X. He is a purveyor and owner of a record company, which is awesome.
Put exactly. Stuff out on vinyl. Triple X, but there's no pornography.
No, it, right? No pornography, just so, wax.
False advertising.
Yeah, but you all right? You letting the beard grow out? Are you doing Movember? Is that what they say?
No.
No, that's just you?
That's just me being lazy.
Just you being lazy. All right. Mr. Jeremy Maggard is also with us, as always.
Mm-hmm.
The comic book artist guru. What's going on? What's the latest on the comic stuff?
Oh, man, just finishing up my little short story, Abandoned. I'll probably wrap that up today, I think, possibly tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then just working on more Primal Instinct.
Yeah? How's the story coming along?
Which one?
The one you're doing right now that you'll be finishing
good.
Tomorrow, yeah?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I've been
yeah.
seeing the updates you're putting out on Instagram. Looks like cool stuff.
Thanks. All five pages are up on. Five pages are up on Facebook right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, damn the man. And you
hot
go
damn.
To Jeremy Maggart Art on Facebook mm-hmm. or Instagram or
same,
whatever.
Same for both.
Jeremy mm-hmm. Maggart Art. Maggert. Sounds like Maggart, but Maggart. It's the French way. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry. It's the 20th episode. We're having fun. We should be drinking, but we're not. Let's get right into it, sirs. Let's talk about that trailer for the new Wonder Woman movie that came out yesterday.
Okay.
A little background on this. The Wonder Woman movie is directed by Patty Jenkins, her big claim to fame is she directed that movie Monster, with the serial killer Eileen Wuornos with Christina Ricci and
Charlize Theron.
Yeah. And she's done a couple things since then, but nothing on that scale. So this is like her big, big thing, which is cool that we get a woman director directing Wonder Woman.
She almost directed, I think, Thor 2.
Really?
Yeah.
The guy who directed Thor 2 was a guy who's done Game of Thrones stuff. I think that's right. I can't remember his name, Yates or Tates or something like that. I don't know. But what do you guys think of the new trailer? It's World War II time. It's cool.
World War One, isn't it?
Is it World War One?
Looks like World War One to me. They had biplanes and shit, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, you're right. 30s, 40s. Oh, that's World War II. World War One, are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I gotta look.
Just from what it looked like to me, I don't know the storyline or anything, but that all looked like World War II era.
All right, so what do y'all guys think about this Wonder Woman trailer? What do you think?
I think it looked awesome.
Does it look better than Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, so I gotta admit, I'm the first person to be like, no, fuck the DC movies entirely. I am definitely working on a negative bias with these now. But I looked at that trailer and I said, okay, this actually looks like it's going to be fun. It could be fun. I'm really reserved in my expectations, but it looks like it could be a fun movie.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I always like movies that are set in a different time, different place. I think that's more exciting than modern day movies. That's why, you know, I loved the first Avenger so much, the Captain America movie set in World War II. And this kind of looks like this is DC's way of doing, okay, this is going to be our first, you know, Justice League.
This is why
League
you like
movie.
Gods of Egypt.
Yes. It works into that same thing.
Okay.
But yeah, right. I mean, you can tell that they're really going for the first Avenger kind of vibe with Wonder Woman here. They even said, like, on the new trailer, where it all began or something along those lines. Something to insinuate that she's the first Justice League member.
Yeah. I mean, let's find out what Jeremy, the comic book expert, knows. Seeing this, is this the Wonder Woman movie we always want? Judging by this 2.5 minute trailer.
You know, I think so. I'm looking forward to the movie, but I honestly hated the trailer.
Really? What did you hate?
I hate... So this trailer is exactly why I don't... Before we started doing this show, I never watched trailers. You literally saw the entire fucking movie in that trailer.
So that is a problem with most trailers these
days.
Yes,
and that's why I don't watch trailers. You see part of her fighting. You see a shot of her fighting Ares, so you get to see part of that. You get to see, like, character development when that one character that she obviously cares about takes a bullet. They even, and this powered me down the hardest, they actually have a tribute kind of camp like to the original Superman movie in this movie, and they showed it to you in the fucking trailer.
Which part was that?
So there's a scene where she's wearing a blue suit and she's with Chris Pine in an alley, and someone shoots at him, and
yes.
She reaches
oh, yes.
around him and blocks the bullet. She's wearing a blue suit no different than what Clark Kent is wearing in Superman.
Okay.
And it's like,
you
why?
Don't think that's a wink wink to
it is, but why would you put that in the trailer?
Yeah, like, that would
save that for the movie when I'm sitting there in front of the big screen. It has way more impact. You basically blew one of your coolest, funnest moments on a fucking trailer.
Yep.
He is pissed.
I hate trailers like
white hot Megert fury.
Yep.
He's unchained. He's unleashed.
You know, it's like you do that, and then there's like what, like 3 or 4 slow motion bullet scenes, and it's like, why do we need 3 or 4 slow motion bullet scenes?
It's just stupid trailers for stupid people.
It's like,
so do you still agree with John though that you're looking forward to it minus the trailer?
You know,
I'm
looking forward to it. The thing I run into with a lot, where I'm getting to with a lot of superhero movies, is I've read all these comics, and the whole just rewatching the origins over and over and over again is starting to get a little lulled with me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What do you think?
So I totally agree with Jeremy. Pretty much every trailer I don't like these days, because they really just show a lot of what's happening in the movie.
Unless it's a J.J. Abrams
Unless,
trailer.
Yeah. Agreed. And those are perfect, because he has a very Kubrick-esque, well, not even Kubrick-esque, but Kubrick was perfect in doing his trailers. Like, you saw the trailer and it was usually 30, 45 seconds, but you didn't know anything like what was going to happen. But they were right. So haunting and good, and like, I want to see this.
That's how it needs to be. There needs to be mystery.
I totally agree with that. You know, people, I guess, now want to see like, oh, is it going to blow my socks off because it's like all the same shit coming together.
But it's all editing. That's all trailers are.
No, yeah, no, it absolutely is. Like, what's going to, you have to have like the, in a world. You know, something like that, and then like the last tag, and it's a whole thing. I mean, I enjoyed seeing Wonder Woman fight, you know, a little bit, but they showed too much of it. She looks good. Chris Pine looks good. No, you don't think Gal Gadot?
She looks like a Victoria's Secret model, not a fucking warrior princess.
I gotta agree with him there.
It's my biggest pet peeve about Gal Gadot. She's beautiful, no doubt about that, and she looks. She's lean, certainly, but there's no muscle there. She couldn't even pick... Bitch couldn't even pick up a shield if it weighed that much. I mean, really, like, she looks like she... She would just have bigger arms by hoisting around that big goddamn metal shield all the time.
Well, you know
Jesus
why...
Jesus Christ.
Well, it's the same thing with... I did a podcast earlier about the remake of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
That movie, when it originally came out, was for the outcasts, the oddballs, like the weirdos. And then in this remake on Fox, it was literally all buff... people, models. I'm like, that's not how it's supposed to be. Yeah, I know Gal Gadot can sell tickets because she's hot and she's been in Fast and Furious and whatever, but Come on, you gotta...
It's ridiculous, and it's so sexist, because I think I've ranted about this before when we talked about it last time, but if you look at the physiques that are expected of all the guys to be a superhero, they all have to be unrealistically buff. Like, they all have to get on steroids to look like
they do. Well, it's Superman. I get that.
But even then, even, like, friggin' the guy in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Chris Pratt. He wasn't on, I don't think he got on steroids for that role, but he had to get really buff and really shredded, much so, more so than the average dude. Whereas Gal Gadot, I mean, the average woman could lose 30 pounds and look pretty much like that. But, you know, it's just a matter of being lean. There's not a lot of impressive musculature there.
I agree with him on that. And especially when you see her in the preview, it basically, to me, what it gives the vibe is, and I know she's got super strength, but it gives the vibe of, like, the swords and things she's swinging are not even made of metal.
Yeah, it has to be plastic.
And it's funny, because what made me think about this also was the other day I was watching what's the Tom Cruise movie with Emily Blunt?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes. You watch Edge of Tomorrow, and there's the scene where when you first meet her character, she's doing the plank, and then, you know, she is like that, and her arms are ripped and shredded and muscly.
She looks great. It's like
you couldn't even.
And it's so.
So you don't think that'll. So, but Wonder Woman's like she is a superhero. Like, maybe she is just naturally strong, but she didn't have the physique
every bit of Superman. Every bit as much of a natural superhero as Superman, and we expect Superman to be mega buff.
Yes,
but in reality, he could bench press 1,000 pounds without breaking a sweat. So how is he getting this buff? You know,
it's just his body chemicals. Like, that's
same
him.
Thing with Wonder Woman, though.
But body chemicals. That sounds scientific.
or he runs around like a million miles an hour. He's burning lots of calories.
That's Captain America running around the Washington Monument.
That's Superman. Did he run around the fucking world or something?
He's flying.
He'd fly around the world.
Still,
for the
that
time.
Has to do that.
I mean, flying may burn calories.
But
I don't
he runs fast, doesn't
sure
he? Too.
It's like swimming.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
What?
He runs fast too.
I'm sure he does. My point, that doesn't make you buff. If you're doing all that cardio, you're gonna look like a freaking track runner. It's not that impressive.
Let's take Kluger to the gym.
Yeah.
It's been years, sir.
He's gonna look like Usain Bolt. Is it Usain or Usain?
You say?
I'm not you
saying. Did saying. You say it?
Usain Bolt. I'm saying Bolt.
Oh, God.
But either way, so I digress here. But it's very frustrating to me, because Wonder Woman, here was this perfect opportunity to bring muscular, strong, fit women into the mainstream with the Wonder Woman character, because she's portrayed in every comic book as not being a puny. You know what I mean? She's pretty buff. And it was the perfect opportunity, because it's getting there. I think culturally people are ready to see strong women. And it was the perfect opportunity to take that into the mainstream. And it was just totally squandered in this wimpy ass little physique in this girl.
We'll see how it works.
I don't think DC would ever take the chance on that with Wonder Woman.
Such a drag.
Not with what they're kind of using so is, I think they're going to be their kind of, I don't want to say like tentpole movie character, but when they're kind of like using, they're not rebooting it, but they're being like, hey, look, these movies are fun and it's not all rainy and sad and shit.
It's not all Zack Snyder.
When has this happened? What you just described, this hasn't happened yet. With Suicide Squad and Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel, that has not happened yet.
Well, I think they're just saying that that's what Wonder Woman's going to be.
I didn't get any of that in the trailer, really. Minus maybe a one scene. But,
well, I didn't get that from the trailer. I've got that from things I've read.
Okay, so they're going back. Okay, it's so interesting to me that Joss Whedon was hired to direct a Wonder Woman movie that was taking place in World War II, and they did not like his treatment. And then he went on to do Avengers. But it's weird to me that they didn't go that way.
Yeah, and it's not really like a reboot in that sense. It's just like all the executive dudes, from what I've read, that were involved in all the other movies that were like having creative input. Like, all those guys have been pulled off all the DC movies. And this is the first movie that was shot largely or made largely without all that extra input.
The writer and Jeff Johns writing co-writing this movie, and another Wonder Woman writer as well. So I think you have screenplay writers here that have both been in the comic universe for a long time.
I hope it's good. DC needs a good movie.
They really do. I mean, I loved Man of Steel for what it was.
Man of Steel was excellent.
I liked, but Batman and Superman and Suicide Squad, I just,
yeah.
Like, and the first 20 minutes of Suicide Squad, I liked.
But I still haven't seen that one.
You haven't? Yeah.
Well, at least this trailer was not a music video.
Yes.
That was a huge benefit to me.
Yeah. Didn't look like Papa Roach's new hit on MTV.
Yeah.
Did y'all like Chris Pine in it? He looked like a pretty cool character.
Vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, there were rumors that, and I don't know how true it was, like, but that he was up for playing Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern reboots.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because they were going to do Green Lantern Corps. And he would have been an awesome Hal Jordan.
Yeah. He would have been really
good.
It's
like Ryan Reynolds, part two.
He would have been great.
Ryan Reynolds was great.
Careful what you're about to say. They kind of fucked up
Green Lantern, but I still liked it. I think it was just mostly Ryan Reynolds, but I did like Green Lantern.
It's hard to not like Ryan Reynolds in anything he does. That's because he's just Ryan Reynolds, and Ryan Reynolds is likable.
He was a great Hal Jordan. They just made a shit movie.
Well, I think they put so many eggs in one basket for one film. That could have been two films easily. But yeah, they just put...
Plus, they made Parallax a fucking floating... space poop monster, which made no sense.
Yeah, they did.
It
was the smoke monster from Lost with eyes.
And it was the same thing of like when they did Galactus in the Fantastic Four movie. They didn't want to spend the money to make fucking Galactus, so you just never saw Galactus. And it was the same thing, like they didn't want to, you know, spend the money to make Parallax what it was in the comic book. So like, here's this fucking floating poop monster in space.
That's a very technical name.
Yeah.
The poop monster.
It really was.
That's what it is. It's a fucking floating shit cloud.
And somebody was like, I like Lost. We need to do this smoke poop monster from Lost and add it into Green Lantern. All right. So I think we all kind of agree that the trailer showed too much, but we're still excited for this despite your shitty editing of the
bad
trailer.
Bad trailer, but... hopefully it's a good movie.
We hope for the best. Let's move on. I want to talk about the really cool trailer that released this week as well. T2, Trainspotting Part 2.
Oh yeah, that looked fantastic.
Holy God. Trainspotting for me, just, it's a very coming of age movie for me. I loved it so much. It proves that Danny Boyle is one of the coolest fucking filmmakers on the planet. He has not lost any touch as long as for this
trailer for 20 years.
And how this trailer was done, hell yes. That's perfect. How you do it.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about Trainspotting?
I watched the first one.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Oh man, Trainspotting 2. I'm so glad everybody came back for this.
I'm so glad. And you know what? I was really not, I didn't have my hopes up high for this movie. When I heard about it, I was like, why? Why are we going to do a Trainspotting 2? But then I saw the trailer and all of my fears were put to bed. So much better. This looks fantastic.
It does look so good. That's one movie I'm really looking forward to. I think I'm going to have so much fun with it.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We're going to talk about... I'm going to be out of this conversation mostly because I have no idea about it. But we're going to talk about Elder Scrolls Skyrim Remastered Edition.
Oh, we're talking about that now.
Well, I thought that was on the run sheet.
It was. I didn't know we were talking about it right now.
Yeah, let's talk about it right now. Let's do it. Skyrim. First of all, what is Elder Scrolls and what is Skyrim? Because I know it's an open world game, but that's really all I know.
Have you played Fallout?
No.
Okay, so it's a game made by Bethesda.
Yes.
It's just like Fallout. Bethesda made Fallout. They made Elder Scrolls. So Elder Scrolls is a series of games. And we have Morrowind. We had
This is Elder
Oblivion.
Scrolls 5?
Oblivion.
I think this is... I'm not really sure. I think maybe the fifth one. I don't know.
I think it's 5.
So we had, Oblivion was the previous one. They all take place in the same universe, the same world.
Okay.
And it's kind of a witches, wizards, knights kind of RPG fantasy world.
So it's kind of like World of Warcraft in a way.
Yeah, something. I mean, it's in the same kind of fantasy vibe.
Okay.
You got orcs and dwarves and elves and stuff like that.
Think of it more like probably the Lord of the Rings vein.
Okay.
Something all like right. that. So you've got that. You've got a completely open world. It's always been at the forefront of the technology for whichever entry in the series it has. It's just a fantastically interesting world to be in because you get this character and it's not like a normal game where in the beginning of the game you have to choose whether you want to be a mage or a rogue or a warrior or whatever. You just are your character. And as you play, you can develop your skills.
Okay.
So if you want to be someone who's really good at with a bow and arrow, you just use your bow and arrow a bunch and it'll level it up through that.
All right, so the Elder Scrolls, this This version came out in 2013, but this is, they call it the special edition, right?
This came out in 2011.
Oh, 2011.
Skyrim came out in 2011.
Okay, so they've remastered and did a special edition now for this.
Yeah, right? So Skyrim was the last full-fledged entry by Bethesda in the Elder Scrolls series. They did a partnership with some other company to do Elder Scrolls Online, which came out between now and then, between now and 2011, and it sucked. It's not good. I mean, in my opinion, I don't like it at all. It's kind of their attempt at doing a World of Warcraft thing.
Okay.
Massive multiplayer kind of a thing.
All right.
And it wasn't good.
It was complete shit. It was fucking dog crap, in my opinion.
In my humble opinion.
In my humble opinion.
It was a goddamn piece of shit. I was mad about it because I bought two copies of the game so my wife and I could play together, and it sucked. So I wasn't so happy about that. But Skyrim, they've now remastered it. They put out I think it's called the Legendary Collection.
Okay.
It's got all the DLC. And the coolest thing is for console players, they now included all of the mods that were made for PC.
So I heard there were some pretty cool mods there.
There are all kinds of mods. So users created all these, like these the social network type mods for this game.
Yeah.
And now they've included that for the consoles. So someone like me who played the crap out of it on Xbox 360 can now play new stuff for Xbox One. There's new maps, there's new quests, there's new
spells. Did they get an up convert in video and audio too?
They remastered the graphics.
Okay.
And the graphics on console are not quite as remastered as I would hope they would have been.
Well, because PC is always going to be better.
Yeah, but looking at the footage, you know, I always forget this. I've learned this lesson a million times, but looking at the pregame footage online, like YouTube and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, this is going to be amazing. But what they're showing is PC graphics.
It's like when you go to McDonald's, but you see the burger on TV, and you're like, that looks so good and delicious. And then you get
there, the cheese is half off.
Yeah, and there's a rat on it, and you're like, oh, this was not in the advertisement.
So this was kind of like that, but not so bad. I mean, there are so many games where it's just really bad, but this was a fair remaster. On a scale of 1 to 10 of how well they could have remastered it, I'd give it a 5 or 6.
So you were really excited about this a week or two ago, and
I'm still playing it every day for multiple hours, don't worry.
That's why you haven't shaved.
That's why. It's just been Skyrim. So, yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. I think for anyone who hasn't played the game, it's the perfect opportunity to get into it now, because it's mastered for the current console, so that's awesome. And someone like me, who's a huge fan of the game, having the access to the mods makes it fresh again.
So for those of our listeners who don't know much about this, is there an end, like, into this game? Like, are you going towards something?
There is, but I defy anyone to get there.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, so there's a main quest that you can do. And the main quest doesn't take that long. It takes, like
8 hours or something like that.
10, 12, something like that. I think if you were to just barrel through the main quest.
Yeah.
But the thing is that there's about a fucking million other quests. And it's not like a lot of games like Dragon Age or something like that, where the side quests are little tiny quests.
Yeah.
Like, go fetch this bottle of water for this person to bring it back to them. No, this was like, okay, now here's the side quest you stumbled on. You're going to be a werewolf now. We're going to transform you into a werewolf, werewolf hunter. And you have to go through this entire series of quests to get to the end of the werewolf line.
That's cool.
Yeah, or you can join the Mages College, for example, which is very Harry Potter-ish, you know. You go to an actual Hogwarts-ish type place and learn how to use magic, and there's a whole quest that goes on for that kind of stuff, too.
Okay.
And that's just a drop in the game. But my favorite part about the game is that it conveys a real sense of exploration and adventure, because you can just go wherever you see. So if you're looking out in the distance and you see a mountain, you can climb on that mountain. So you will go up that mountain, and randomly you'll encounter a crypt, and you'll go in that crypt, and there might be some fucking vampires hanging out in that crypt. And there's so much detail that they put in these missions that you randomly find, where they'll give you a whole backstory on what these vampires were doing in this crypt. And there'll be things going on in there. They might have some prisoners, whatever.
I feel like you're just describing this to me. I really want to play it, but I feel like I would not be able to do anything else in life.
You just have to manage it.
Manage it. It's like, there's no managing. I can't do it. Jeremy, have you played this game?
I played the original one, yes.
And all he's saying is true. You like it like that?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. The really nice thing about it is, because it's so big, when you go to all these different areas, there's like different cities and environments. And the nice thing is it's not like one of those games where when you go from like the wooded area or whatever to the elf castle where everything kind of looks similar. Like, it looks very different to where when you go, it looks like it was designed by completely different artists. So
yeah,
the vibe I got from the game was when you went to these different artists where you like these different areas where it's like, okay, these artists, you know, the guys that worked in the game designed this area and these guys designed this area. So there's a really nice feel of when you start going to the different, you know, kind of areas in the game, you're really moving to different parts of the world.
Like in Lord of the Rings, the movies, mm-hmm. where they put so much effort into making sure that the yeah. outfits were different and the architecture yeah. was different.
Like
they did the same
Gondor
thing.
Gondor doesn't look like the White Castle or whatever.
All right.
The White Castle was Gondor.
Yeah, no. I put that in there so that way when Josie listens to it later, you know.
Sons of Gondor yeah. blew the horn.
But it's a fantastic, I mean, to me, I would easily put it in the top five best video games I've ever played.
Really?
Absolutely. Wow. And I think for you, since you haven't played it, you should really, really get it. You're doing yourself a major disservice by not even trying it.
I want to try Skyrim. Skyrim or Battlefront? Star Wars.
One's multiplayer and one's single player. So it's a different kind of adventure. You know, one's perfect for when you're just sitting at home by yourself and not wanting to be social.
Okay. Some whiskey, some Skyrim.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Skyrim. I would
suggest it for anyone that enjoys video games, basically. Okay. If you haven't played it, absolutely you need to get it. And if you have played it, get it because you haven't had access to the mods. Unless you're a PC gamer, in which case you don't give a shit.
I'm a strict PC gamer. All I am. Not really. I don't have a PC. Okay, let's move on. Doctor Strange, have y'all seen it yet?
No. I'm going to go this weekend.
Yeah. I can tell you that I went into this movie with hopes, but not high hopes.
Haven't you learned yet that Marvel delivers?
They do, but I don't know. I mean, I like every Marvel. Well...
Except
Iron Man
for
2.
Thor 2. Iron Man 2 is fantastic. What the
You're
fuck
the
are you
You're the only
about?
Person that I'm likes not. Iron Man 2.
You're the only one at this table that doesn't.
Y'all liked Iron Man? We've talked about this before. I don't get it. I don't get why you liked Iron Man 2.
Not as good as the Barbie movie.
So yes, folks, I have reviewed this week alone two Barbie movies.
Two?
Barbie and her sisters in a puppy chase. Holy God. And Barbie... Starlight Adventure.
Ah.
These are not the only two Barbie movies I have reviewed. There
Which
are three
one was
others.
Your favorite?
Out of these two, Starlight Adventure, because it took place in space. And okay. There was like there was an evil person. They had to get... Shit, why am I talking about this?
We're just baiting you along. Giving you an effort to hang yourself.
Breadcrumbs and just watching
And
them.
Why did you like this
Why
one,
did
Ryan?
I like this?
Because everything was pink.
It was, yo, man, the colors are... It's just... purples and glitter and everywhere. I don't know. They've done a good job with the Barbie movies recently. I mean, they don't want make you want to stab your eyes out, really. But they're not. We're not the intended
and so
demographic.
They really wanted the 30-year-old Jewish man to review it for them.
I'm the only one that said yes.
So they want to know how it's going to fit with the 30-year-old Jewish demographic.
So I'm trying to review. Well, if I was reviewing it for myself or for you guys, it would be a totally different review than what I would. I. Put out there
so
because
I'm reviewing it for all the 9-year-olds that read your.
No,
blog.
I'm reviewing it for like the families who are going to show it to their kids okay. and like okay yeah so like one of them is very has like the same story as the Goonies, which was kind of cool. So like while you're,
is this the puppy chase?
No, this is not the puppy chase. This was one I reviewed a year ago. Okay. So, but there it's the same story as the Goonies, but it's Barbie, and for your 6 or 7-year-old girl, they're gonna love it, and you won't want to kill yourself watching it if you're an adult.
That's
because you're like, yeah, there,
that,
it's
that
stuff
provides
like that.
A service. And
correct, that
people.
Does a service. Otherwise, I mean, I'd really want to say something like, "Fuck this movie, God damn it!" But oh, whatever. Yeah, I review Barbie movies and American Girl movies, which I didn't know was a thing until a couple years ago.
I didn't know that either.
So,
which is better?
Well, they're both based on a series of dolls. Oh, man. Barbie movies are way better than American Girls. They're American Girls are all live action, and they're just fucking terrible. Bullshit artists. You're bullshit artists. Greasy Strangler fans, you will like that. Going back to Doctor Strange, we went off the rails here. Marvel. Okay, so yes, I was not... I could go either... I was on the fence with Doctor Strange, but after seeing this, damn, it was really good. They did a great origin story, because with all these Marvel movies, you're going to get an origin story. Like, at least since it's a new character, and how many times have you seen it? How many times have you seen a Batman origin story? This one was done so well in just perfectly fluid and like a slow burn where you really get into Dr. Stephen Strange, like, psyche, like he's a dickhead, but you really like him. And then the visual effects here are just, this should win the Oscar.
Really?
That good, right, huh? Now, I haven't seen an action scene like this ever. Like, they're fighting in like this kind of like real-ish time, but then like things are going in reverse because of his like time stuff.
Oh, dude, now, did you see it in 3D or
standard? I saw it in 3D. I fucking hate 3D, and damn, this movie looked good in 3D.
Was it worth it? So you'd say
3D IMAX, 3D? Absolutely. Gotcha. 3D IMAX, that is the way to see this movie. All right. It is so cool. So it was directed by Scott Derrickson, who, interestingly enough, is a horror movie director. He directed Sinister, right. And there's an Exorcism movie in there too, but he's a horror movie director. I think he directed this with his writing partner, C. Robert Cargill, who is a former film critic for Ain't It Cool News. And they are both really big fans of Doctor Strange. And they, Benedict Cumberpatch, Bandicoot, Cucumber Snitch, whatever.
I like Gumberpatch.
Gumberpatch. It's my name, Gumbercules. Benedict Gumberbatch. Shit. Cumberbatch has an excellent, he does a good American accent in there. He pulls this character off really well. There's excellent comedic parts to the movie. Everybody's really good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think y'all are really going to enjoy it.
And Rachel McAdams still looks 25.
She does. It's amazing. She's the worst part of the movie. Her relationship with Stephen Strange is the worst part of the movie.
The relationship.
Yeah, I mean, she's
don't hate on my girl.
No, don't hate on Rachel. Yeah, that's the worst part of the movie, but it's here in spurts here and there. But yeah, Mads Mikkelsen as the bad guy is really good. Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One's awesome.
He looks like he was wearing the same kind of makeup he was wearing in what was that Viking movie he did?
Yes.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah, it very much so is. There.
What was that Viking movie that he did? It was like one of those first movies.
Oh, God.
It was the Magnet film.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Totally. It's like Blood something or other.
Shit, I don't remember. Yeah, this but we sucks. Like Mads Mikkelsen here. He is badass. We're mediocre. But yeah, no, Doctor Strange is good. And of course, it's a Marvel movie. Stay till the end of the credits. There are two tags. One after like the very visual credit part, mm-hmm. and then one at the very end. Stay for both.
Okay.
You're going to like it.
All right.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
Is it Deadpool?
Yes, Ryan Reynolds shows up and is like, really?
That would blow everyone's mind.
No, there you'll really like it. You'll
it's Samuel Jackson.
Sam Jackson comes back. He wants a team. Finally, but yeah, no, it's excellent. I think you'll see it in the Oscar nominations for at least visual or sound or something like awesome. That. Yeah, it's damn good.
So, you know, another movie that I just saw a trailer for was Hacksaw Ridge.
Okay, Hacksaw Ridge. I have not seen it yet. I really wanted to see this. This is a Mel Gibson directed movie. He hasn't directed a movie really since Apocalypto, which was excellent.
Was it that one or Passion of the Christ? Which one?
Passion of the Christ was
recently?
First. Okay. Because I hated Passion of the Christ. I thought it was just a terrible fucking movie on every level. But then Apocalypto, I was like, well, maybe it was right about the. I don't know. I just liked that movie so much. Whatever he
Apocalypto
does,
Apocalypto was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I really liked Apocalypto. So. I hear it's excellent. I'm hearing Oscar talk already for Best Picture.
And I heard it was like mega violent too.
Oh, well, I mean, have you seen any Bill Gibson?
Yeah, but I like that. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's a war movie.
That's pretty much what sold me. I was like, oh, Mel Gibson did it? War movie? Lots of violence? Sign me up.
Yeah.
Where do I buy the tickets?
So I really want to, I did not get a chance to see that. Actually, I think they did several screens, but I think every screening they had, I was at another screening. So I
those damn Barbie movies.
Damn Barbie movies. It always comes back to Barbie, doesn't it?
Well, I have to use it. You know, yeah, it's fresh.
It will from now on. Anyway.
It will from now on. I will let you borrow them, sir. You can watch them yourselves. It'd be date night.
All right.
So, yeah, that was Doctor Strange is like the big movie coming out this week. It's going to make it's already been out overseas. And it's made tons of money. I think it made quite a bit of money on Thursday night yesterday. So it's going to, that's the thing to go see.
I was reading something in the news the other day saying that Disney's projected to have like a record breaking year.
No, they already did. I think they already broke their, like they're the biggest ever.
Because what's all been for Disney this year? I know we got Moana coming out.
Moana, yeah, they did this first screening of it yesterday, but I didn't go to it, but there'll be like three more.
And then
Rogue One.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. Well, what other Marvel movies came out this year?
I can't.
Was there another Marvel movie? There had to be a Marvel movie this year. Was there?
Yeah.
Which, oh, Captain America Civil War. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That feels like so long ago.
It was. Yeah, it does feel so long ago.
But yeah, so they're just making bank.
It's crazy. They're making billions, sir, with a Dr. Evil. Billions.
Yep.
So yeah, they're doing all right. They're doing.
They're hanging in there.
If Disney wants to sponsor this podcast, please set aside some for Mediocrity. We're
so Disney friendly.
We are Disney friendly. Well, we like to.
We were making fun of Helen Keller in the last episode.
Well, we didn't realize if it was Helen Keller or Anne Frank. Same
lines
person.
Blurry.
Yes. I'm glad you remember that.
Didn't remember that.
You don't remember?
I remember it now. I had forgotten about it.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Speaking of Disney and whatever they're doing, Star Wars is doing their anthology series as well as their episode 7, 8, and 9. So their anthology series, which we'll see in December, is Rogue One, and then the next anthology movie, which will be in between 8 and 9, will be the Han Solo movie, and then after that it is rumored to be a Boba Fett movie. They have not come out and officially said what it's going to be yet, but it is rumored to be a Boba Fett story, which they say is going to take place sometime in between episodes 4 and 6. So there's no casting, there's no word, there's nothing on it yet, because it's not going to come out to like 2020, which seems a long time away, but that's really only almost 3 years away. Holy God. Jeremy's going to be like 65 years old.
About there, yeah.
Dog years.
Dog years.
podcast years.
Podcast years. But yeah, years. So Boba Fett. We got to talk about Boba Fett because he is one of the biggest cult icons of Star Wars, which is weird because in the original trilogy, he's really only on screen for a matter of minutes.
Yeah,
but
like
he made such an
movie.
Impact that people dressed up.
Because that armor was so fucking good.
And it was just the armor because he didn't even do anything in any of those.
Yeah. It's like in the original trilogy,
yeah, he shot at Luke Skywalker and missed in Empire. And then he did the flamethrower a little bit in Jedi. I don't even know if he shot the gun. And then
I think he was about to shoot the gun.
He was about to shoot the gun.
Boba Fett.
And then he got knocked into the Sarlacc pit. So really, he's like this famous bounty hunter
but
that we've never really seen any shit off, you know.
Well, because I think what people really liked, because you saw him like snooping around and everything, and like he worked for Vader and everything, but I guess it must have been the cool armor, and you saw all the contraptions on him in his rocket
I think
pack.
What made him so intriguing was the mystery, is that he didn't fucking talk, he didn't do a bunch of stuff, and then they gave him the New Zealand accent, ruined every bit of it.
Oh, was that in the
special editions?
Oh, fuck those special editions, fuck them in their...
But they didn't do that until after, it was actually, I shouldn't say the special edition, because it was the Blu-rays that they did that in.
Well, they changed stuff for a special edition, then they changed them again for the Blu-rays.
Yeah, it was in the Blu-ray they did that, because it was post-episode 1, 2, and 3.
All terrible still. I hate watching them.
They ruined Boba Fett in those movies, because, I mean, really, Boba Fett doesn't do anything cool except for look fucking cool and stand there real silent-like. Yeah. And I think he says...
Now he sounds like a hobbit. So... And then in the prequels, which for some reason y'all like the prequels, episodes 1, 2, and 3, and especially in 2, we got to see kind of an origin story of Boba Fett and his father, Jango, right? So, which, they fucked it up again, George Lucas. But
yes.
But what happened? What was Boba Fett really known for in that time frame where they want to show this movie potentially in episodes 4 and 6? Do you know? Because I know you both read books, you've done stuff.
Do you know anything about Boba Fett?
Yeah, well, the hilarious thing is everything that we know him for that's cool all comes from what like expanded universe like support material. It all comes from comics and books and video games.
Which I imagine that's where they're gonna draw their inspiration
on. But the thing is they tossed all that stuff out.
What do you mean?
All that stuff is
all the expanded universe stuff. It's considered legends now.
Yeah, it's like they're not saying it didn't happen, but they're not saying that it did. And really it's in case they want to pull it in. And so the way it works is the only stuff that is officially canon anymore is anything you see in the movies or shows up in the Rebels TV show or the Clone Wars TV show.
Okay.
Now, the Rebels and the Clone Wars TV show have actually pulled in characters that were just in the books, and so they will end up officially being canon. Like when
Thrawn,
which we're going to get. Like when you saw the Night Sisters in Clone Wars, those were just book characters. But now, because they pulled them in there, that actually makes them canon.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, they could pull from something, but it's why you don't have Mara Jade. Mara Jade didn't show up in, you know who that is?
Isn't that the chick in row one?
No.
Well,
that's Jyn Erso.
Thanks for playing, though.
who is she?
In the books, she was Luke Skywalker's wife.
Okay.
And they had a son.
A secondary apprentice of the Emperor's.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so that's who she is. Mm-hmm. So where does Boba Fett fit into all of this? Like, pre-Jedi?
He's a bounty hunter. That's really that simple.
Yeah, so he's basically Han Solo, but he works for the dark side.
No, Han Solo is a smuggler.
Well, he's also...
No. Not a bounty hunter.
This is painful.
This is
hurting me.
Han Solo is basically... Think of him as a cartel runner, you know what I mean? He's taking drugs from one side of the galaxy to the other.
Okay, so is Boba Fett strictly... For Darth Vader, or is he just for hire?
Boba Fett is
he's for hire.
Boba Fett is for anybody that will pay him money to do a job, whether it's bring someone in,
kill them,
assassinate them. That's his job.
So, do we know any stories about him prior to this whole Jedi thing?
Well, there's a whole book all about his adventures.
So. I guess that's not going to cover this. We might get some of that.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, they may draw from it, because I think there's Tales of Bounty Hunters or something like that. And it wasn't just him, but it was including Dengar and IG-88 and all those guys that you saw standing in line in Empire on the Star Destroyer.
So with the rumors that are going around that the Boba Fett movie will take place in between the original movies, what does he do in those original movies, really?
Well, it depends on which one. I mean,
In all of it, all those three movies, there's only, what's the time difference between 4 and 6? It's, a year?
I think. I think there's a few years that go between Empire and Return of the Jedi. Because that's when supposedly the whole Shadows of the Empire storyline takes place.
Okay.
That's also not canon, though.
Okay. All right. I feel like they didn't get older, per se. But maybe, because let's say 5 years.
Well, you got to think of where Luke was at the end of Empire, and then he did a whole bunch of Jedi training.
Well, there's training. The training stuff, yes. I don't know how long it took. But with Boba Fett, where is he going? Like, was he...
So, between Empire and Return of the Jedi, I'm not really sure what he was supposed to have been doing after he captured Han Solo. I think he was probably just hanging out.
Because he's the one that captured Han Solo, chicks. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so after that, was he just...
Well, Darth Vader did, technically.
Well, correct, but he helped.
Or you could say Lando did.
Lando!
So, I mean, essentially he's just supposed to be one of the best bounty hunters in the galaxy, just like this fearsome bad motherfucker, basically.
I really hope, because you say all this, but then he easily dies.
He was fighting a Jedi.
Yeah, people think that he's going to fly back out of the Sarlacc pit.
That's what happened in the books.
All right.
That's what happened in the books. I'm not sure if they're going to be doing post-Jedi or what, but...
I don't know. Yeah. I'm very curious. Jeremy, what do you think about this?
I don't know. The thing I kind of wonder the most about it is, you know, when they go to cast, originally he was, I think, played by a British dude, but then you had a guy from New Zealand play Jango Fett, so the clones got to be similar. So what avenue are they going to go down in that regard?
Right, so casting-wise... I've heard rumored that they want Michael B. Jordan or Michael Fassbender in the role of Boba Fett, which would be really
You talking about Fassbender, and as soon as you said that, I was like, yep, that's what I want.
Well, because Fassbender actually openly said when they were started to talk about Star Wars movies and, like, you know, doing those, the other stories, he specifically was like, I would love to play Boba Fett.
And he'd be perfect. I mean, but really, I don't give a fuck who plays him as long as they look good in the armor. Because in my opinion, well, if you have a movie with Boba Fett where he's talking and you're like, he's taking the helmet off and making him too much of a approachable character that you can identify with, I think it's going to ruin the character forever. I think if you want to go with what makes Boba Fett work, go with the strong, silent role. Like, I think I mentioned this last time we talked about it.
Yep.
Give it a good bag and the ugly. You know, give him a Man with No Name vibe where he's just... They're kicking ass.
Like, my thing is if that helmet comes off and that armor comes off at all, I think for the most part, it should be like Judge Dredd or like a Halo game where you never see, you don't see Judge Dredd.
Yeah,
you
I never, can't imagine Disney doing
you,
that.
You never see the Master imagine. Chief. I feel like if you're going to do it, let's say it's after Return of the Jedi, right? So we need to see, if you're going to do it, it just needs to be a short, taking the armor off. What does he look like after he was partially, after he was partially digested?
By the
Sarlacc pit, you know, is he gonna have scars on his face, on his legs, on his arms, on his back, you know?
And then just have him be quiet and killing fucking everybody. That's the Boba Fett movie that I want to see. Just Boba Fett killing everyone, just like, you know, maybe one or two cool Arnold Schwarzenegger lines as he kills them.
So you want the people's Fett, the Rock?
Yes,
Boba Fett. Yeah,
exactly. The Schwarzenegger Fett.
The Schwarzenegger. No,
your toast.
I think Michael B. Jordan would be awesome. I think Michael Fassbender would be awesome. But that's who is rumored to like be talked to about or whatever. But I'll go to you guys. Well, who do you want to see?
I don't care, like I said.
Somebody strong.
Just somebody, not even strong. I mean, Boba Fett's not like a big physically imposing guy. As long as he fills out the armor all right, I mean, which doesn't take much. Just Michael Fassbender is great. I don't care.
Okay, what about you? I think if you want to keep the kind of the continuity of the movies and you want to have a dude that could pass as Jango Fett, I would pick Manu Bennett.
So that's the guy who played him in episode 2, right? No, it's not.
No.
Wait.
What are you talking about?
I don't know the actor that played Jango Fett, but Manu Bennett is actually from New Zealand.
Okay. All right.
He was in the Spartacus TV show. Did you watch that?
Oh, yes.
He was Crixus in the Spartacus TV show, and he was Deathstroke on Arrow.
All right.
So you would have a dude that could fill out armor.
Yeah, okay. I mean, know what his dick looks like.
And yeah, that's very true. And, you know, special features
his
are always
there. His cock rages on.
It does. That's very true.
All right. Yeah, I guess I can't imagine anybody really... I can't imagine Disney doing a whole Star Wars movie with somebody who's just fully masked. Like, I can't
imagine a Boba Fett movie where he's walking around not fully masked.
Yeah, of course, but I don't think they're going to do that.
To do the movie right, it's going to have to be totally a different feel. It's going to have to go off on its own little thing and be a very unique experience.
This is what Rogue One's kind of very different.
Yeah, and so maybe if they can do this, and maybe if this is darker and more violent, they can and it flies and people dig it, maybe that's their test water for the Boba Fett movie.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
That's what it needs to be. It needs to be some weird brutal killing for everyone.
Brutal killing.
Well, the nice thing about
everything's rated R.
About Star Wars is, I mean, you know, with the laser blasts, you know, and everybody wearing the armor is they can kill a million people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even...
Although I really want to see some face melting.
And you don't even blink an eye.
Just some, you know...
Good old-fashioned face melting.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Peeling off.
Back then, that was PG.
Yeah, I know. Back in the good days. Before everyone was a pussy.
For everybody who was a pussy. I had some interesting choices. I could see Taron Egerton being Boba Fett.
Who?
Taron Egerton. He was the main guy in Kingsman.
Ah, I hated that guy.
You don't like him? I hated that guy so much. What was wrong with him?
So I liked that movie just fine, except for that guy.
What was wrong with him?
He was terrible. Everything was so...
I liked him in that.
Yuck.
Yuck.
That's all I can say. I hated that movie, Kingsman, purely because of that guy.
You're so weird. You're wrong.
I know you guys love Kingsman, but I fucking hated it. I finished it and I was like, fuck that movie. Immediately. I was like, that was one of the stupidest movies I've ever seen.
That movie is
except
so good.
Except for the fight scene.
The one
good fight scene.
In the church?
Colin, what's his name?
Colin Firth.
Yeah.
You're weird.
That was fantastic.
Everything else was a turn. Also, I put John Leguizamo on there just because I think he could be a great action star.
Yeah.
And if he had to do like a thing, take off his mask or whatever, I think that would be badass.
I'm not opposed to John Leguizamo.
Okay, what about you? You like that at
Avenue? You know, I would rather have the Taron Egerton to the John Leguizamo.
Okay, yeah, I like Taron Egerton. And my other one was Jensen Ackles from your favorite show, Supernatural.
Oh, God, fucking come on.
I think Jensen Ackles would be really good in it.
Kick that guy out of Hollywood.
What's wrong with Jensen
Ackles? He's terrible.
You know what I'm talking about,
yes.
Right?
Yes, he's the shorter one, right?
Yes. Yeah. Why don't you like Jensen Ackles?
Because of everything he's ever done.
My goodness, you're full of hate today.
No, I'm just
consumed
hate
you,
stuff.
Sir. It is your destiny. So out of Taron, John Leguizamo, and Jensen Ackles, what do you like, Jeremy? He likes Leguizamo.
You know, I would be okay with either of the other two guys besides Leguizamo.
Okay. Yeah, I like those. I mean, of course, I would love to see Idris Elba as Boba Fett, but it's not going to happen.
Idris Elba as everyone.
I do, or Kevin Hart, really. I mean,
or The Rock in our case.
The Rock. Kevin Hart as Boba Fett, just running around. Why is this going on, man?
Did we think of a Kevin and Dwayne movie for everyone this year?
Yeah, they're coming out with Jumanji. Oh, no, we didn't. Oh,
we talked about how we were going to come up with a Kevin and Dwayne movie.
We need to right now.
Okay. I think just start off with Kevin and Dwayne go to the mall. Just a shopping team.
So it's like Paul Blart, but they're two security guards.
Nothing like Paul Blart.
No.
I'm thinking more like Mallrats.
Mallrats. Oh, my God.
But Kevin and Dwayne.
So who would be... Where would they be? Brody and what's...
Not a remake of Mallrats.
Similar
to Mallrats. So that's my first answer, is Kevin and Dwayne go to the mall.
I would like to see Dwayne and Kevin be Jay and Silent Bob in like a skit. That would be great. I like that. They go to the mall. Mm-hmm. And do they stop a crime, or do they just shop? Or
I'm not sure. Maybe a little bit of both.
Okay. All right. All right.
What you got?
That's all. No, I totally forgot about that. I need to put this on the run sheet so I can remember that. I totally forgot about
that. The run sheet, that sounds so fucking official.
The scrawls is on a page.
It is.
That's right. You've actually gone up to the... You don't have the notebook anymore.
Well, I do have the notebook, but I forgot it. So I typed up that.
Oh, okay.
So that's send it to you.
Saving trees.
I do. I send it saving trees. So what else? We could stop now for 20th. We can go on 10 more minutes. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, wasn't there a big baseball game that happened last night?
There was. Well, not last night. But
today's the parade.
Yeah, today is the parade. They were dying Chicago River Cubs blue. I blew myself. It was game 7. It was an amazing World Series. That game, I was like in the fetal position under blankets.
So you were watching?
I watched the entire game. So Cubs were ahead by 3. Then the 8th inning came and the Indians tied it. And then 9th inning came, nobody got anything. And then they were going to go into the extra innings. And then a fucking rain delay. It was like, oh, God, this might go on forever. I was like sweating. I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want shit. I was scared. Because I was rooting for the Cubs. Because, I mean, either team would have been awesome because it's been so long since they've won. But the Cubs, I think the fans of the Cubs are just like, really, they deserved it. So I was really happy that they won. It was really cool. And I know, what about you, Jeremy? Did you watch the whole
baseball
thing?
Guy?
I am. Yeah, that was the best World Series I think I may have ever seen in terms of excitement. It's the best World Series I definitely have seen since like 2002 when the Giants played the Angels.
Yeah.
And it went like 7 games and it was just back and forth and it just came down to the last game. It was just really, really exciting.
It was so good.
And for the Cubs to come back from being down 3-1 and to win 3 games straight, it's statistically almost impossible.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy.
So there's 7 games total for the World Series?
They went the full 7 games because it's just best of 7, so it's the first team to win 4.
Gotcha.
And when they were in Cleveland, the Indians won 1 and then the Cubs won 1 and then they went to Chicago and Cleveland took both the games. Or no. Took the first 2 games in Chicago, and then they were basically down 3-1, and the Cubs went in and won 3.
Yeah, Cleveland just had to win 1 game, and
couldn't close it out.
But if you watch that last game, and you're like, okay, goddamn, Cubs are up. It was 3-1. You're like, this looks good. And then the 8th inning, oh god, they tied it up. And then that 9th inning, you're like, anybody who scores is going to fucking win this. And then nobody did.
There were no pitchers left.
And they're like, oh, God. And then, like, a fucking rainstorm came, and they had to cover the field, tarp the field. They're like, what's going on?
20-minute delay.
Yeah, though, it was so crazy. And, like, they got the out.
Pretty fantastic game, huh?
Oh, it was so cool. And plus, you know, we were 1 year late, but Back to the Future 2, it said Cubs win 2015. So that was pretty cool.
Apparently it was also predicted in Parks and Recreation.
Yes, it was in the final episode. Yeah, it was definitely predicted in Parks and Rec as well. Cubs win. So I'm glad that the Chicago fans, because Chicago fans, either of the Bears or of the Cubs, they're real, like, they're very passionate, even though their teams lose a lot.
also Bill Murray also was at all of the games.
Yes, he was.
And
he sang the Take Me Out to the Ball Game, I think in game two, as Daffy Duck, which was awesome. Like, he got up in the whole radio or where the announcer does, and he led the whole stadium to it.
And he was just sitting in the stands with the crowd, man.
Yeah, he wasn't in like a suite or anything. He just was.
And then in one of the games in Cleveland, there was a lady that just traveled to Cleveland to try to get tickets, and she was walking around trying to find a ticket, and she saw him like walk from the box office, and then he just turned around and was like, "Do you need a ticket?" and took her to the fucking World Series. And
wow. Dude, Bill Murray is a good dude, even though this bitch over here doesn't like him.
Did you see the shirt he was wearing? He was wearing a shirt that, because like the whole thing with the goat and the curse.
Yes.
He was wearing a shirt with a goat with the red like circle with the cross through it that said, "I ain't afraid of no goat."
Yep, absolutely, he did.
I was like, that's so great.
Bill Murray is an icon. He's amazing. But yeah, he was at all of them. What's his name from High Fidelity? John Cusack was at
also
all of
from
them.
Chicago. Vince Vaughn was at a couple of them.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn sang one of the things. Yeah, not as good as Bill Murray as Daffy Duck, which was great.
Eddie Vedder was there. He sang one of them.
Yes, he did. I don't think...
As Daffy Duck.
No, no. But, well, Bill Murray was like, we're going to sing this in the style of the greatest American like icon, Daffy Duck. And it was so great, too. But yeah, no, that game was amazing. So, speaking of baseball World Series, what is the best baseball movie ever?
You guys? Major League.
Major League? Fuck Joe Boo. Which is an Indians thing. It could have been Rick Vaughn out there.
Charlie Sheen actually wanted to throw out the first pitch of the World
MLB
Series.
MLB didn't want anything to do with him.
He was like, hey, I want to throw out the first pitch, but I want to do it as Ricky Vaughn.
I actually have changed my answer. I'm going to say A League of Their Own.
That's mine, too.
Oh, is it really?
God, yes. I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
It is. Sandlot's up there as well.
Yeah, definitely, of course.
What about you?
Yeah, I'd probably go A League of Their Own. It's, you know, League of Their Own. Bull Durham is another good one.
Field of Dreams is up there. Angels in the Outfield.
You're
Rookie of the Year.
All of them at this point.
Rookie of the Year. Oh, Rick Vaughn.
So it sounds like we all agree that A League of Their Own is the best.
I like that.
Movie.
I mean, Tom Hanks is amazing in that movie. He's like my favorite role he's ever played.
Such a fun movie. So anyone who hasn't seen that should go see A League of Their Own.
It is about the first women's national baseball league. It is great.
It's got Rosie O'Donnell, Tom Hanks, Madonna. Yep.
Gina Davis. Tons of people.
Yeah.
John Lovitz.
And it's one of his finest
roles. John Lovitz.
Hey, cowgirls, see the grass? Don't eat it.
I'm going to go home, give the wife the old pickle tickle.
And then I'm on my way. Oh, dry her eyes. He's so good in that movie. All right. That's Mediocrity episode 20. We thank you for listening. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, under the Multimedia Men banner. Like us, subscribe to us. We'll be back next week. And next week, we will come prepared with a Rock and Kevin Hart movie.
Kevin and Dwayne.
But thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.